Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's up for grabs now!
Arsenal Nation.
Would you believe it?
Arsenal Nation.
Look at that! Oh, look at that!
Arsenal Nation.
That sums it all up.
Arsenal Nation.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of Arsenal Nation, the podcast. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, Johnny, mate.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, Jeremy.
Joyeux Noël, guys.
I was just about to say how to say it in French.
We're teaching them as well, aren't we, at home? So there you go. Joyeux Noël. My mum used to always tell me that she's got an orange for Christmas once. Like, that is a sad, sad situation, isn't it? Don't get me wrong, some people might be getting an orange right now. And well done. That's probably a nice orange, but I wouldn't want an orange. I'd rather an Arsenal Nation podcast.
Yeah, I mean, my mum used to put an orange in the stocking, at the very bottom of the stocking, but there'd be like loads of sweets and stuff before that. I mean, I don't know. She had it all wrong.
Yeah.
Surely you want the orange at the top and then like the sweets later. But hey, anyway. So that's mine and Johnny's Christmas growing up normally by the sounds of it. Jeremy, what was Christmas like for you in Paris?
Well, Christmas for us is on the 24th. It's Christmas Eve. We don't really celebrate on the 25th. So you get all your bits, all your presents on the 24th at night. You know, you just wait and, yeah, you know, dad pretending to be Santa in the old costume and stuff. And, yeah.
So you're telling me, right, if I was your wife, just bear with me here.
Okay.
If I was her, I'd go to France, have the Christmas on Christmas Eve in France, and then come back to England and have the actual Christmas on the day of the 25th in England.
Double up, yeah.
Can have both, yeah. To be fair, she always struggled with it because we've always done, you know, when we go to my parents, she always struggled, don't understand why are we waiting on the 24th? 24th is just, you know, just a normal day for us. It's like, no. For us, it's like, you know, it's the big thing, the 24th at night, wow. It's the big dinner, wait till, you know, 12 o'clock, whatever, and get the present.
But then you come to England and then you realise that the 24th is for going out, getting absolutely obliterated, so the 25th is just a struggle for the whole day.
Yeah, the 24th is a combination of running around desperately trying to find something for your missus whilst the shop shutters are closing and then getting obliterated because you didn't find the right thing.
Yeah, and it'll make the problems go away if you just get tanked up. Different approaches to Christmas, you know. I think Joyeux Noël is a bit better than that one, actually.
Right, we've recorded 6 episodes in this first run of the podcast, but there's some bits that didn't quite make the final cut. But they were so good, we thought we'd put them all together in this bonus episode for you. But before we get to them, let's have a quick...
Jeremy, Jeremy, you
So this is the part of the podcast where producer Liam picks a topic and Jeremy tells us a story about it from his career. So, Jeremy, tell us a story about what it was like being a footballer around the Christmas period, because it's a busy time for footballers, isn't it?
It's the most, yeah, busiest time. So what basically happened is when the fixtures come out, straight away, that's the first thing you look, you know. You just look if you play at home or away on Boxing Day, because if you play at home, you know that 99% chance the coach will let you stay at home on the 25th. You know, you'll just train early morning, get home, and then just turn up for the game the next day. But if you play away, surely you've got to travel on the 25th. So it'll be like, stay at home in the morning, and then about, you know, 2 o'clock, whatever, 1, 2 o'clock, report for training, then travel straight to the hotel after the session. So you just think, God, I just hope it's not, or if it's away, not too far at least. So maybe we get a chance. If it's a London game, then you might be able to go the next day, you know? But it's like when you've got to go to Manchester or Liverpool or Newcastle, or, you know, and then from London, you know you're going to have to go the night before. So you just so straight away you just like, tell the missus, Christmas, yeah, we're playing away on Boxing Day. She's like, nah, why?
You know, is that what she sounds like?
No, what?
Are you married to Pat Butcher from EastEnders?
You come here!
Got a rolling pin.
Around Christmas time, though, Jeremy, did you, you're retired now, so you can admit things. Did you ever have a couple of beers and that? Get a few drinks?
Yeah, but like I said, for us, it's 24th. So 25th, anyway, it's kind of like, just you get up, spend it with the children, but you don't really drink, it's more on the 24th a night. So at least it gives me a couple of nights to recover before the game.
Nice. I mean, it's funny you say about, looking at the fixture list. I think for your average bloke, of which me and Nick certainly are,
Speak for yourself, mate.
Oh, mate, he's above average, actually. I'm not. But you look at the Christmas period and you think it's a period where we're all tested physically because we all are about to embark on the biggest feast, the biggest eating session that comes throughout the year. So much so you've got to get your elastic waistband joggers on at some point just so you can fit your belly in that's ever expanding. Would you say, even though you're a footballer, do you overindulge in the eating, if not the drinking alcohol?
Yeah, you obviously do it, a lot more than normal. And obviously not the same type of food as well. So
What is the food?
Well, the food is like, French will have foie gras, seafood, we'll have, turkey, all that kind of stuff. So it's like salmon, smoked salmon. So it's things that you don't really eat during the year. Especially Christmas stuff,
It's like the stuff we would only have when we're at an all-inclusive hotel on our holidays. And you have that for your Christmas dinner.
Okay. And I remember actually, Arsene Wenger saying, guys, it's Christmas, eat what you want, enjoy, but not too much, huh? Not too much.
Was he strict with it like that?
Yeah, he was not that strict, because he just wanted us to have a good time, spend it with your family and stuff. But obviously, he was more strict, more on the alcohol than the food. It was more the alcohol that was his thing, just like, the drinking. Come on, boys, no drinking,
Did you ever, just going back to the fixture list, did you ever try to get suspended on purpose around Christmas?
Not suspended, but maybe getting a little knock in training.
Oh, that
before.
One. My back. For my back. The back was always the one that people would bring out.
You know the little knock that 3 days later you'll be fine, but just on that day it's just such a shame because, I could have made it, but, it's just a little bit too close to the game. Can't make that game, but I'll make the next one, no problem.
You don't want to risk the further aggravating injury.
That's it. You don't want to.
Right, we've had some really good guests actually on this first season of the podcast. Robert Perez, one of the guests, Leah Williamson, Reese Weston, and Lee Dixon. And here are some of the bits from those interviews that you didn't hear, and we're going to start with Robert.
One of my memories of you as a player, obviously absolutely excellent player, but for me, I felt that you always had a great temperament in big games. You showed up in big moments, and we've seen in loads of different clubs in football, there are players that play for big teams who can look good against small teams, like with respect smaller teams, but in the big moments they don't shine. You were one of those players that did shine. Can you talk to me about that? What makes you so good in those pressure moments?
Well, pressure moment, I think it's all the game, and of course they have a special game. I repeat, against Man United, especially on this time. We had a very big rivalry with Man United. It was a special Ferguson against Wenger. But normally when you are professional, you need to prepare each game on the same, how you call it, same
mentality.
Of course, the pressure maybe is not really, really the same. But so that's why when... if you want to win the title, you need to be concentrated and to be focused. every game, every Saturday. And I think for my part, I think I learn a lot when I used to play for the national team, because I play with a great player like Deschamps, Blanc, Desailly, and especially in the mental, for this game, I learn a lot. And of course, when you train with Bergkamp or with Zidane, for me, it was a very good example.
Zidane,
I know him.
Zizou, wow.
Are you girls having that initiation song?
Yeah, well, so I had to do it, and since then...
Stop.
I made a bet if we won the FA Cup in my first year, then I'd sing. I don't know why. And so I had to...
What did you sing?
Stand By Me, Benny King. It's kind of an easy one, a bit of a cop out, really. But.
I mean, it's still horrible having to do it in front of everyone. I can't remember if we asked you this, Jez. Did you have to ever do
that? I've done it in France. I've never done it here. Here, when I joined, was just standing up on the chair pre-season and just have a quick. I'm really happy to be here, and hopefully we'll have a great season. Just have a quick 2 minutes.
What was your English like?
Terrible. I've never done it. I always blamed it on my English. I said, I don't speak English. I've never done it. Tony Adams just like, nah, next year you'll do it. And next year he was gone.
You must have been like...
Escaped it.
Oh, okay, right, I see. I'm with you.
Do you get anyone who has a problem with your musical choices?
How do your DJ sets go down?
Oh, 100%. Dan Carter's always got something to say.
Can't play so well.
But her music taste is different to the rest of the... We've got quite a cheesy group, like a sing-along, like a good dance. And Dan's very... Like, she's very... Loves Chronics. And stuff like that. So
dancehall and
yeah,
reggae.
Yeah. It's quite hard to mix that in. I tell her she's one of the whole team, so she gets 1 in 20 basically.
You can't go from Cotton Eye Joe to Conics. No, that's
yeah,
not the right
it doesn't
mix.
Really mix. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take some questions out of a hat, and we'll take it from there. So Lee, do you want to go first?
Am I reading it out to everybody?
Yes, please.
Worst dancer.
Right, so this is from your ear.
Martin Keogh.
Straight in. Martin Keogh. Worst dancer. So, Jez, we want to get you in on this as well. So,
same
from your
one,
era,
same question. Right. Fabregas.
Ooh. Was he?
Yeah. Oh.
See, Martin thought he was a really good dancer. So, the lads used to say, when we're putting our kit on, the floor at Highbury was like this. It was hard. You know, and so when you got the studs on it, it was a bit slippy. And he used to put these red boots on. You know, you used to wear them stupid red boots. One was a size 8 and the other's a size 9. Weird. And he had to get two boots from Puma, two pairs of boots, and then swap them over. So he had a left 9 and a right 8 or something like that, because his one foot was bigger than the other. So it was always a pair of boots thrown away. And so if anyone else had the opposite, a big right foot and a small left foot, they were in to get a free pair of boots. But he couldn't find any of them, so they used to go in the bin. And he used to put his boots on before the game, and we used to go, go on, Martin, do your Michael Jackson.
Oh, no.
And he used to do his Michael Jackson dance. I swear to God, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Because he'd do all the facials and really think he could dance. But the lads were literally winding him up, and he used to go, all right, and I'll do it for you. And he used to do this like, dance and like, moonwalk across the floor. So there's many a time when I've gone into my first title with Giggsy, and I've been still laughing at the Michael Jackson gig.
Has anyone actually told Martin that you were laughing at him, or has he just found out on this podcast?
Correct.
Right, Jez, you can pick the next one.
I think Jeremy did say Fabregas, but have you got any stories about Fabregas's dancing, Jeremy?
Well, a few times we used to, go out clubbing, and actually a few times one of the boys, had to go and see if he didn't have headphones on, listening to different music, because he was completely out of rhythm. It was crazy, like, unbelievable. Everybody were looking at him and thought, nah, he's listening something different there. It's not the same music.
I'm guessing, Jez, you had the moves. That's what it is.
We talked even about injury points and tougher points in your career. Speak to me about the role of family for you both and how that helped you get through these points.
Yeah, I mean, family is something that is vitally important, I think, in most people's lives. And my parents in particular. I mean, my wife and my little one. My little one's only 2 and a half, so she unfortunately never got to see me play at any level. My wife and I have been married, you know, just over 5 years. So, she didn't really get to see. Well, it wouldn't have been the best of me, to be fair. It was the back end of my career, so thankfully she didn't see that. But no, I think, you know, through some questionable choices in my early years, and moving around a lot, having the support of my parents was always invaluable, and always supported me from an emotional standpoint and financially at points in time. When things were going a little bit kind of south, they were there to bail me out. So no, vitally important part of my life, and then still are today.
And just a quickie, are you from a Welsh background?
My father's Welsh,
right.
Yes.
The reason I ask you this is because you could have played rugby as well, right?
I was reasonable at rugby. So,
was your dad trying to push you down that road? Because Welshman and rugby.
My dad was just a frustrated sportsman.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it was just like anything I was half decent at, he was going, right, you're better than me, son. You're doing all right.
Right.
I kind of half grew up. My, if I'm being brutally honest with you, I was always going to hopefully play football for England or rugby for Wales. That was my kind of thing. As luck transpired, I was never good enough to play for England. So no, I was lucky to get 7 caps for Wales, which was great. Very very proud moments for me and all my family, my dad in particular. But no, I was never pushed particularly. I was just left to enjoy my sport, and it kind of organically went the way it did.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, we've had a lot of fun getting some stories from Jeremy over the past 6 weeks, but here are a few more that we've saved for this week's show.
If Gareth called you now, I know you've retired, but if he called you now and went, you've been here long enough in England, we want you to take on the English nationality and play for England, would you? Because some players do it, let's be clear. Would you change nationality to play football at international level?
I haven't been asked clearly about it at the time when I was playing for Arsenal, but there was people saying, you've been in England over 5 years now and you haven't played for the France full squad yet. Would you consider it and make a move to come and play for England? And at the time, I just said yes, because I was like, I feel English anyway. I've been here so many years now. Just for me, France, England, I feel I've got two countries. And at the time, I said yes. It never happened, but at the time, I would have. I don't feel like France, obviously, I was born in France, but I've left France very, very young age. And I guess the biggest or the most important part of my life haven't been in France. They've been in the UK. Becoming a man happened here in London, meeting my wife, having my kids, and playing professional football. I've only been in England. I've never played in France before I've joined Arsenal. So France for me was obviously, I feel French and I'm French, but spending all them years in England made me, I feel British as much as I feel French. So,
Get on the phone, Gareth.
It is a fascinating point, though, isn't it? Because there's a lot of, football can connote a lot of nationalism and, we're English and we do this. But it's interesting the way you talk that you've experienced the most significant parts of your life in Britain, so why wouldn't you play for them? And I find that really interesting.
Well, it's like I'm obviously I was born in Paris. I've always lived in France until 16, but my mom, on my mom's side, we are Algerian, so I've got an Algerian passport. I've never been in Algeria. I could have played for Algeria, but for me, England, you know, is more my country than Algeria is, because I've never been there. I've never had any connection with the country apart through my mom. But, you know, it's not a country that I can say, oh, I feel Algerian, because I've never been. I don't know the people. I've never mixed, lived in a country or any, you know, anything like that. So
you have a very interesting accent. Very interesting accent.
I've heard that before, yeah.
Now, that screams to me that obviously you originate from France, but you've been living in England on and off for, what, 20 years?
Yeah, 20 years now, yeah. So I've moved in 99, so...
Unlike your grandparents who could only do 6 months, you've done a long time.
Enough of beans on toast, mate.
So here's a bit of a kind of cultural question, if you like. What would you say, as a honorary Brit these days, what would you say is the one thing that you love about Britain that you maybe can't get in France?
You ready, guys?
Oh.
My wife.
Ah. Okay, people just tuned out there. Okay. Oh, I'm done. It was going well with
producer Liam. Chop that bit out.
there's many things, but saying that, there's a lot of things that I miss, you know, food-wise from France, that when I go back to Paris, I'm like, oh my God, I just miss this so much. But like just the biscuit, the yogurts, the choice of all that stuff we've got in France compared to England. But listen, just English breakfast tea in the morning, you know, all that kind of stuff that I've learned, you know, when I came to England, because drinking tea in France is not really the thing. But then, you know,
he loves a fryer.
You love it.
Just like fish and chips and all that, you know. It's things that we don't have in France. But to be fair, I consider myself as, you know, off British.
He's Fringlish.
Really.
Yeah. He's Fringlish.
British. That's what he is. I wanted to ask you about your parents, actually, because did your parents play sport or anything?
All my family are basketball. Okay. My dad, my mom played basketball, my uncles, granddad, everybody. And I was the first one playing football.
So you come from a sporty family, right? I wanted to kind of see if there was like a connection, because, you know, a lot of the time people have kids, and then if they're a footballer, their kids end up having a dabble in football, you know. But like... I just wanted to see if there was a succession there. I've not got a real question, to be honest.
I think there is. I think it's in the gene a bit. When you've got both parents that are sporty, then the kids, you know, I'm not going to say 100% of the time, will end up sporty as well. But I know, you know, my parents were, my granddad were basketball. I am, and my son crazy about football, so you know.
Arsenal
I just
fan,
think,
I'm hoping.
Well, he's with Arsenal, guys.
Yeah, that's where he should be. Who did your parents support growing up, and who did you support growing up?
PSG, but then obviously Arsenal abroad was my team because of all the French connection and all the French players.
It's hard though, like, because as Arsenal fans, when we had the great influx of French players under Wenger. And, you know, led us to great success. And we always hear about how young French players really liked Arsenal because it was seen as a place that French players were going to go. We haven't, in Britain, really got the same thing because most of our players don't go abroad in the same way, you know.
We've got this new Bundesliga thing, haven't we? A lot of the young players are going to the Bundesliga.
Yeah. But I'm just interested to think, like, if there was a club where loads of English players started going, whether there'd be loads of young British kids going, I'm a massive Dortmund fan now, or something like that, you know.
Probably will, man. I think he will. I think, like you said, because growing up, all the, you know, your heroes and idol were playing for, you know, Arsenal, Man U, whatever, you know, team in the UK. But I think if now you can see a change where all young British players move abroad to get experience and get times to just play. So, I think it could change in the next few years.
How long did it take until Arsene Wenger spoke to you? Did he pull you after your first session, or was it kind of like after?
No, he just left it for the next maybe I would say the next 6 months until that season finished. Because I was just training with the first team, but obviously I was not involved with them in any games.
But he must have saw something in you, Jeremy, because the rumour is that, like, Arsene, I mean, I don't know how true this is, maybe you can verify it, but the rumour is that Arsene used to watch from afar. He would watch the youth team's training.
He used to be at every game on Saturday morning when we used to play games at the training ground. He was there.
So he must know about, he must have seen you and thought, I want this kid in our training session.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure, he did. But then I think what he felt is he was just wanting to let me settle and adapt with the boys, let them teach me, you know, how to get in that group and let my character just toughen up and get, you know, you've just can't have your coach just behind you helping you out and tell you, you know, because it's just not right. You just end up being a bit of a...
Like teacher's pet kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
right?
It, exactly. You don't want to be the boss's little boy kind of, you know. So you just let me, you know, let me finish that season. So, for the second part of my first season at the club, I trained with the first team every day. Then it was end of season. And then it's when I came back. Then obviously, because I've turned 17, then I've moved dressing room. So I went to the first team dressing room then. And that was, from then, I was with the first team, you know.
Ali Adier, one-on-one with Butler. Jeremy Ali Adier. Oh, that's terrific! Absolutely brilliant! What a talent this guy is!
Right, we've had so much fun bringing you this first series of the podcast. I've enjoyed it loads. Not only because, you know, we get to talk about Arsenal, which is the club we all love, but I get to hang out with you guys.
It's really nice, isn't it? I mean, I like chatting to you guys, particularly chatting to Jeremy about UFC. You never get involved in that.
Yeah, UFC chat quite deep.
Not this again. A massive thank you to all of the guests who gave up their time to get involved. And a huge thank you, like, more importantly, to you, the listeners, the people who download the show and get involved. We want to be back for a second series, don't we? That's what we want, guys.
Certainly. We've got really prepared for it as well. We've got some... good things lined up, guys.
I'm up for doing another one, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll probably do another one as well.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm ready.
Oh, I thought he was going to say no. Lucky. Right, you can still help us, though, of course. You can rate the podcast, review it, recommend it on all the platforms, which is iTunes, Spotify, Acast. Also, might be worth, we'll do like a little guerrilla marketing tactic here. If you drop at Arsenal a tweet, anyone that's hearing this right now, and tell them how much you enjoyed the show, that'd be good.
Yeah. And as well, you can drop me a tweet at Johnny I. Cochran and say how much you enjoy me. That'd be nice.
Basically, spam Arsenal and follow Johnny. That's what it's after. I think it's worth just shouting out our own Twitter, our own Insta handles as well. Johnny, you've already done yours. So, Jez, where can the fans find you on Insta?
Yeah, me on Insta at JJ Aliadier.
There you go. It's easy to spell. It's basically spelled how it sounds. It sounds more complicated than it is. Mine is very simple. Just my name, Nick Bright, at Nick Bright. Until next time, from me, Nick Bright, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
From Johnny Cochran there.
Merry Christmas, guys.
And from Jeremy Ali Adier. What more could you want for Christmas than a Merry Christmas from Jeremy?
We want Santa to bring you a second season of the Arsenal Nation podcast.
Until next time, see you later, guys.
Arsenal Nation.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.